Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast here on a Monday, Eclipse Day, Guardians opening day, all sorts of things happening. We're going to talk Browns here, though. Dan Lobby with Mary Kay Cabot and Ashley Bastock back from covering the women's Final Four. We all had sort of interesting weekends, so we're getting back into Browns mode here, and we want to go back to last week because what we haven't had a chance to talk about yet is Deshaun Watson, who was at the launch of the cheesesteak restaurant that he's an investor in, Lefty's Cheesesteaks, and he spoke at that opening. Mary Kay, you were there. Of course, the headline was Deshaun basically confirming he's going to be ready for week one. But let's just spend some time today talking about Deshaun, talking about what he had to say there and you know, anything off of that. What stood out to you when he spoke? Obviously, it was that. Was there other stuff, too, that kind of stood out to you?
Well, amazingly, we were able to get all of our questions in, and he stood there just answering anything that we wanted to ask him. We thought sometimes when you go to these things, they cut you off after three football questions, and you're done. But he graciously stood there and answered all of our questions. So it was great because we got to ask him about Jameis Winston and Jerry Jeudy and Kevin Stefanski, his visit from Kevin and Ken Dorsey and a little bit of everything. But I think once again, the number one takeaway and the number one thing that everyone wants to know is how do you feel? When will you be ready? And he said he will absolutely be ready for week one. And he feels really good about it. He's going to be coming here for the offseason program, which begins next week on April 15th. Of course, just 2 weeks of conditioning. We don't watch any of that or anything. We won't really actually see him doing anything until May. But he is feeling really good. He is throwing, and he was in great spirits. So that's probably one of my biggest takeaways, was the fact that he's really upbeat and feels really good about how he's doing.
Yeah, Ashley, it feels like getting that sort of thing just out of the way was really important. Just the knowledge that, okay, Deshaun's going to be ready week one. Because when we do go out there, we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what sort of participation he's going to have. Is he going to be throwing a bunch that first time we're out there? Is he going to be kind of chilling inside? I don't know. But I think the idea of just knowing, kind of putting aside this knowledge, like he plans to be ready week one, which is still a long ways away, but knowing that, I think, sort of eases any sort of concern that might come from what we see when we do actually get out there, if it doesn't look like we expect it to look.
Right. And I think I said this before with Deshaun in terms of this rehab. There's just so much unknown with an injury like this one. I think this is better than the alternative. I think it's really great that he's this confident when it still is relatively early in his rehab. Obviously, the offseason program has not even begun yet. So I do think that is all positive. I mean, I was surprised, quite honestly, that he was as positive as he was when he spoke at this opening, because that's some strong words. And I think it's a really strong indication for how he feels going into this rehab, because if things weren't going so well, I think there's a way to answer those kind of questions and be relatively vague without promising anything, without really committing to anything, without complaining directly about anything. And he didn't do that. He was very adamant, I'll be ready week one. So for me right now, I think that is a really optimistic sign, because obviously he's going to know how he feels better than anyone else is.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, it's important he said it. It's important we know it. But Mary Kay, were you surprised? I guess when he did sort of make that declaration, were you surprised? Were you always kind of expecting that he would be back week one?
Yeah, I was always expecting that he would be back week one. So I wasn't really surprised to hear him say that, because that's really always been the plan. But as we have mentioned so many times, the plan and reality could possibly be two different things. And that is because, once again, there's no precedent for this injury. There is none. And I'm sure he feels great and the prognosis is great and everyone has talked to the doctors and feels good about it. But until we all actually see it and he gets out there and does it, and not just in OTAs, but in a game situation, and it holds up after taking a hit, which is not going to happen until either the regular season or if he plays in the preseason. He's got to show that he can absorb a blow and just see how this all goes. I mean, everyone's excited and optimistic, but I think that we need to temper the enthusiasm just a tiny bit.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because, you know, yes, you can say you're going to be ready. And like I said, week one is still a long ways away. We don't even know where they're playing week one yet as of this recording. So week one is still a long ways away and things can change dramatically. But I do still think, Ashley, this at least can take away a little bit of the layer of, oh my God, we got to ask Deshaun about this every time we talk to him. And we got to ask Kevin about this every time we talk to him. Like, I do think this takes away some of the stress, I guess, of maybe the situation, at least a little bit. But Mary Kay's right. We don't actually know what this is going to look like week one, whether he's ready or not.
Right. I think that's with any season ending injury. It's, again, especially this particular season ending injury, when there's not really an example of somebody who has gone through with this kind of procedure before, especially a quarterback, especially in his throwing shoulder. But yeah, I think it's good that uncertainty isn't there at this stage right now, but it does come with that caveat that, hey, it's only early April. Phase one of the offseason program doesn't even begin for another 7 days. There's still plenty of rehabbing you have to do. And I think thinking about it now and just thinking about the general offseason schedule for NFL teams, we're not really going to see any kind of full speed contact stuff for months from now. And I think in OTAs especially, and the offseason program, there's things you're watching, right? But you're never really seeing full speed contact. Obviously, they can't do that stuff at this stage of the offseason. So that's another layer of it, right? Because a guy can look really good throwing against, you know, throwing routes against air, running routes against air. But when you have a defender out there, it's obviously totally different. So that's the other piece of it. And you wonder, too, about mentally coming back from an injury like this. How is he going to be? Is he going to be hesitant? Like, you know, maybe less willing to take hits, even if it's subconsciously, if that's going to be something he has to work through. Guys talk about things like that when they go through injuries. So I think there's a lot of moving pieces and parts that we can't even know about until months from now either.
Okay, Mary Kay, what else did he say? Did he say anything else to you last week that stood out that you kind of took away?
Yes. Let's talk a little bit about Jameis Winston and the things that he said about Jameis Winston. Now, the key thing here is that they reached out to each other right after the Browns signed Jameis. Deshaun reached out to him. And so they struck up their friendship, which they've known each other for a long time, but they, you know, they kind of just reconnected. And then Jameis Winston flew out to LA specifically to meet with Deshaun and to talk to Deshaun and to get to know Deshaun. And I think that's vitally important. I think those guys are going to get along great. I think they're going to be committed to working really well together. I know that they are. And they were already friends, and you can see that they have a strong, strong connection already. And I think that in the end, if Deshaun Watson does return to his Pro Bowl form and is the player that the Browns expected him to be when they traded away three first-round picks and gave him the $230 million guarantee, I think we can look back to the Jameis Winston signing as a key piece to getting Deshaun where he needs to be. It's one thing to talk things over with a coach. It's entirely another thing to have somebody right there with you on the field and in the quarterback realm who understands exactly what you're going through, not only on the field, but in life, in some of your off the field struggles, in background and those kinds of things. He's got a friend and a mentor in that room, and I think it's huge.
So him flying out to LA, it kind of reminds me of something. So when Joe Flacco got here, and one of the things he really did was work really hard to endear himself to this roster really quickly, right? So when they were in LA, he went out to a dinner, and I remember guys talking about it. Like, here's this 38-year-old guy who probably doesn't want to stay out this late, but he's going to dinners and getting to know guys. He goes to Wyatt Teller's kid's first birthday party, right? Like, Wyatt's wife, Carly, has posted about it a couple times on social media. It's things like that. Those little sort of leadership steps for a quarterback to take that are, hey, I'm here, I'm a part of this team, I'm a part of this group. And that really stood out to me, Joe, understanding that. So, Ashley, Jameis taking the initiative to fly out to LA and spend time with Deshaun and really take on, especially with the way he talked in that Zoom call we had with him, take on that role that he has to take on with Deshaun. I think this feels a little similar. This feels like a guy who understands, I know what my job is, and I know how I have to go about doing that job. I've got to take the initiative here. I've got to make sure that Deshaun understands and Kevin understands and this locker room understands that, you know, I'm going to be one of the leaders and this is how I'm going to do it. It's going to be hands-on.
No, I'm not surprised that we saw Jameis Winston do that, make that extra effort to go out and see Deshaun, not just from hearing what he said in his introductory press conference, but everything we know about him and what Mary Kay was talking about. I just included in a story. I just put up about three new players that I'm excited to kind of see and watch and observe as this offseason program begins. And he's one of them. And it's not just about him throwing. I really do think a big important part of that is seeing how he and Deshaun interact with one another and how they interact with the pass catchers. This is really the first time we get to see that. Again, we are not going to have open locker room until the season starts. So this is really one of the prime times, I think, to see those interactions. And for example, last training camp, right? It's how we saw Myles Garrett spending so much time coaching up Alex Wright, which we just talked about last week, and Isaiah Thomas and some of the younger pass rushers. Same thing with Za'Darius Smith, just to give an example of that. And, you know, when you have a guy like Pro Bowler tight end Jimmy Graham, who's saying that Jameis Winston is one of the best teammates he's ever had, I want to see what that looks like. And I obviously think that relationship between he and Deshaun is a huge part of it. I'm not surprised that he already kind of put that into action in a pretty big way. And it sounds like it was pretty meaningful to Deshaun, too.
Yeah. And Mary Kay, players see this stuff. Now they can, you know, they can lie when they talk to us and they can say things about guys that they don't mean. But like, ultimately, players know when something is real and players know when something isn't. They can tell. And it just always feels genuine with the way Jameis has taken this on. And again, like I kind of said to Ashley, it just feels, it reminds me a little bit of when Joe came in and you could just feel, he really put an emphasis on making sure that he was one of the guys and he knew how he was going to make sure that the guys in that locker room trusted him. And this feels a little bit like that to me.
Yes, it does have that feel to me. And what occurred to me throughout this whole situation is the fact that Deshaun did not reap the benefits of that last year. He wasn't mentored by Joe. He didn't get an opportunity to really get to know Joe very well. They were two ships kind of passing in the night. And Deshaun really did not have that mentor person in the room with him last year. He just didn't. He was the top dog, and he had young quarterbacks that he was dealing with in Dorian Thompson-Robinson and PJ Walker. They traded away his great friend, Joshua Dobbs, right at the beginning of the season. And he just didn't have that guy. And I think it's important, especially when you are going through an injury situation, because you want somebody to say, hey, my shoulder just doesn't feel right. I don't really know if I should play. What should I do? How should I handle this? Now, instead of having to go to a coach with that, he can go to Jameis with that. And I think that's going to help him so much. And it reminds me a little bit more of what it was like when he had Jacoby Brissett here. That was really, really good for him. And I think Jameis is going to be able to play that role. The older, wiser sage, he's going to, and you know, Jameis wants to play, but I think his character is such that he will impart all of his wisdom on Deshaun. I don't think he's going to hold back one thing. We've heard other quarterbacks over time say that it's not my job to mentor someone else. It's not my role. It's not my job. They can listen, learn, watch from me, but I'm not supposed to handhold and do that sort of thing. It's not going to be that way with Jameis Winston and Deshaun Watson. He is going to open up his brain, and whatever he has to share with Deshaun, that will be Deshaun's information as well. And I think it's going to help him tremendously.
Yeah. And I think too, just the different styles of leadership is important here too. Like Deshaun is just not the type of leader, the same style of leader as Jameis. He's sort of more of a, like, I don't envision Deshaun as like the rah, rah, let's gather our teammates around and get fired up type of leader. The way Deshaun fires his teammates up is he goes 14 of 14 in the second half against Baltimore, right? And plays through an injury and shows that toughness and, you know, hey, come on, guys, follow me now. Jameis is the other type of leader. And so I think, Ashley, the two of them kind of merged together can kind of help have that quarterback room be what it needs to be.
Yeah. And Deshaun, another part of his leadership, right, is doing these off-season trips, which we've seen him done the last couple of years. That's another big example of, I guess, how his leadership manifests itself. But I remember talking after they signed Jameis about this. Like, I truly believe the Browns do not have another guy with the same type of leadership style on his team, on this team. And you can go up and down the roster. You can look at the different leaders they have on this team, right? Obviously, Nick Chubb, totally different leadership style. Amari Cooper, very much like Nick Chubb, totally different leadership style. Joel Bitonio, that more mature, quiet, lead by example kind of style, right? You can look at all those guys. Same with Myles Garrett. There isn't that big dynamic personality that can get in there and just command a room, I guess, with his voice alone and inspire guys in that way. And there are guys who lead by example, and I think that's great. I think good teams need to have those different leadership styles, but it's about what you alluded to, Dan, those leadership styles meshing. And I think in an ideal world, I know Mary Kay likes this phrase that maybe Jameis and Deshaun will start finishing each other's football sentences. I think a big part of that is finishing each other's leadership sentences as well.
Yeah, that, look, after some win this season, there's going to be a story about Jameis gave a speech on Saturday night or something like that. That's going to happen this season.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mary Kay, what else? What else stood out to you from what Deshaun said?
I'll tell you what, this was another biggie on Lefty's Cheesesteak Day. And that is the relationship between Kevin Stefanski and Deshaun Watson. This is so vitally important. As you guys remember, I had to write about and sort of break the whole story that there was something wrong between Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski, right? And Kevin Stefanski, whether this has anything to do with that whole situation or not, is making a tremendous, tremendous effort to get along with Deshaun Watson and to make sure that Deshaun knows that he's got his back and he's doing everything he can to support him. Not only did he fly out to Los Angeles with Ken Dorsey so that they could have dinner with Deshaun, but he showed up to Lefty's Cheesesteak on Thursday and he sat down with Deshaun and Quincy Avery, his private quarterback's coach, and participated in their podcast. And once again, as Deshaun mentioned, it was Kevin Stefanski's idea to do that. He was not invited. He was, you know, they didn't beg him to come. He went on his own volition and he sat down and did a fairly long podcast hit with them. It was probably 20 minutes or something like that. And I just think that that shows that Kevin Stefanski is really putting the effort in to make sure that Deshaun is heard, seen, listened to, supported, and everything else.
I'm telling you, I've said this before, Kevin's a different guy. I don't know what it is. Like I think he's grown since he's taken this job, which should make sense, right? When you shouldn't be the same coach your first year as a head coach as you are your fourth or fifth year as a head coach. You should grow. You should evolve. You should be a different person and a different type of coach. And I don't know that I would have imagined Kevin doing this two years ago, 3 years ago, even last year. I don't know if he would have done this. And this sort of goes with the Flacco thing a little bit. This feels like Kevin understanding not just the importance of what this probably means to Deshaun Watson, but also like just the optics of it. Like which Kevin has probably never cared about, but just the optics of, hey, I sat at a table at Lefty's Cheesesteaks with Deshaun Watson and his quarterback's coach and did a podcast with him. Like, that means a lot to them. That means a lot to our fans. That means a lot to the people covering this team. Like, that shows something. So, Ashley, I think this is another one of those examples of Kevin just sort of maybe going a little bit out of character and understanding the importance of it. And I think it's one of the ways he's probably grown over the last 4 or 5 years, or at least gotten more comfortable in the job over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to word it, that comfortability. And it's like, we know with Kevin, he's said this multiple times, he never wants to be the headline or the story or the focus. He never wants that to be on him. He wants it to be about the players. I think some people out there probably hear that and think, oh, that's a cop out. But I really truly believe he believes that and thinks like that. And I think, again, you talk about the Jesuit background and all those things. These are very Jesuit ideals. As somebody who went to a Jesuit college, it's not surprising to me that that's kind of his way of thinking. But I agree, it is cool to kind of see him get out of his comfort zone and do something like that, because it is different. And you're right, I don't know if he would have done this a year ago, but, you know, I think about, for example, Andy Reid going on the Kelce Brothers podcast, right? You can be one of the best coaches in the league like Andy Reid is and still do that. And I think it does. It's just some kind of intangible benefit, I guess, for players to see you do that and to see you kind of get on their level as a head coach and show an interest in something that they're also interested in when it's not directly related to the wins and loss column of your football team. And I think the relationship, obviously, between your head coach and your quarterback, I think there's not another relationship quite like that one on an NFL team. And it's really important to make sure, obviously, those two guys work together because of what Mary Kay alluded to at the start of this, like the Baker Mayfield, Kevin Stefanski relationship was in shreds by the time that his time here ended. So I do think it's really interesting. And it is a good example, I think, of how Kevin is maybe willing to do things outside of his comfort zone now, entering year 5. Is it right? Is my math right? 5?
Yeah, year 5.
Yes. That's crazy to even think about.
It's funny. So this weekend, just spending endless hours at Quicken Loans Arena, going up and down elevators, I was chatting with another member of the media, and we were talking, of course, we were talking Browns. And one of the things they asked is like, have we reached a point where even if this Deshaun Watson thing doesn't work out, Kevin Stefanski can survive? And I didn't even give it a second thought, Mary Kay. I kind of feel like we have reached that point where, look, if this doesn't work, and you've mentioned this, the injury is the ultimate excuse if it doesn't. Like, if for some reason this doesn't work out, and I wouldn't have said this right after the trade, but I feel this way now, I don't think Kevin has anything to worry about. I think that he would still, I think he could be the head coach for another quarterback. I don't think this is like Deshaun or bust for these guys anymore.
Right. And it probably wasn't his ultimate decision to go out and make this trade and to pay him all that money. So they can't really pin that on him. And I think that they have demonstrated over even the last few months or so that they absolutely love Kevin Stefanski. And I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. We do know that he will be getting an extension at some point. And if it doesn't work out with Deshaun, I don't think they're pinning that on Kevin Stefanski. I really don't. I mean, if anything, if they felt they had to take play calling out of his hands and give it to somebody else, maybe they would do that. But I certainly don't think that his future is tied to that of Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and like Ashley, I'm just wondering, like, would you have thought that, would you have thought we'd be having that conversation or saying that sentence, you know, 2 years ago when they made this deal?
No, I think the rationale at the time when the deal happened is, hey, if this doesn't work out, you probably got to clear house again, right? I mean, there's been so much stability though now, and I think not only is the injury the ultimate out for everybody involved, basically, but I do think it's a lot about what happened in 2023, and obviously some of the moves Andrew Berry made too. I think Andrew's kind of tied into this as well. But the way Kevin goes out, they win, he wins Coach of the Year. That, I think, provided some great job security that might have not quite been there in the same way before. And I do think, and we've talked about this, like, even if the season didn't go as well as it did in 2023, there are reasons for why that would have happened. Obviously, they didn't have Deshaun for half of the year. And that right there is also a built-in reason. But I think it's about the fact that they persevered through that, and having to play with four different starters, win games with four different starting quarterbacks, losing Nick Chubb, losing your starting left tackle, being down to your fourth and fifth tackles by the end of the season. I mean, this was a lot. And I think obviously Kevin was a big part of keeping that ship afloat. And on top of Deshaun coming back from an injury this year, I think that provided him a pretty long leash in terms of his job security for the next few years, quite honestly.
Who knew we could get an entire podcast out of a cheesesteak opening from a week ago? Cheesesteak restaurant opening from a week ago. Okay, we've got eclipses to go watch here on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. So that's going to do it for this one. A full week of pods coming your way. Next week, of course, we are going to hear from Kevin and some players. We're going to hear from Andrew Berry. So things are starting to kind of get rolling here on the offseason program. I mean, it just kind of hit me kind of coming out of this weekend. Like, we're not that far off. Like, it's already April. We're getting close to even training camp and things like that. So start making those Greenbrier plans now. But we will have a full week of pods. We'll have another draft pod for you later this week as well. Find us on Instagram, search Orange Brown Talk, and on YouTube, search Cleveland Browns on cleveland.com. And, of course, subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. For Mary Kay and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.